All right, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? It's your old pals. It's Adam and Jared.
Back together again.
Yeah. This is, in case you're wondering, the Cooler Chronicles podcast. Or Cooler Chronicles podcast, but no the. You could call it whatever you want. I don't know what episode this is. I don't know what last one you did with what's the guy's name from Inside UTSA?
The West. Guy
yeah, West.
The last one we did was 58, so this one would be 59.
There you go, 59, which is almost like 69, just like with like a crooked person, I guess. hey, look, there's like, Gonzo's like sneaking into advertising there. He's like, hey, listen to Cooler Chronicles podcast. And then immediately after, tune into Running with the Herd, Podcast Monday, Podcast AHL. I mean, that's some dedication there. I mean, we do, you call it Conference USA football talk. Which I think, you know, is important. People care. But they're over there podcasting about AHL hockey, you know? So
that's hardcore.
That is hardcore. So, yeah, tune into that after you're done with this.
Maybe I'm just ignorant, but how many AHL teams have, like, a fan blog or a podcast?
You know what? Imagine it's a lot. You know what? This is the internet, so you can just run wild with speculation. Say none. There have been none podcasts about other teams. The only podcast ever in the world about AHL hockey. It's right here in San Antonio. So, Jared, I hear that you wrote some hot sports opinions on the internet today. Is that true?
Yeah, it was a doozy, man. Honestly, I was kind of nervous to post it because it's one of the most critical pieces I've ever written about a UTSA team. But if there's ever been a UTSA team that's ever deserved some criticism, it's got to be this one.
You know, I think the whole reaction to it, from everybody, I saw a bunch of tweets, people retweeting you, people posting on message boards. I think you hit the nail on the head. I had similar feelings a while back when I said that, I think, you know, this was before, it, you know, like the spiral continued. Mm-hmm. I think what I said, and we'll get into what you said, what I said a couple weeks ago was that, like, this is why you kind of savor every moment. And why I think some people were like saying, like, why is UTSA like complaining about, you know, not making the bowl, or why they like, you know, wishing there was like a challenge? Because you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, just because, yeah. Yeah. You just because you have a stacked team, and a lot of people thought UTSA was going to own the conference. I thought so too. And, you know, it turns out they don't. And so you kind of wish that you had last year's team back. It kind of sucks because I think, you know, everybody wanted to celebrate this team, and now there's like a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And I think you kind of elucidated that well on your Underdog Dynasty post. So, I mean, give me the audio version. Maybe the dude hasn't listened to it. He's driving in his car. Like, what's everybody talking about? Give him the fire, dude.
Yeah. Okay. So, kind of the general message of my article was just that Rice Stadium is built like below ground, kind of like how most of the Big Ten stadiums are, where like when you hit ground level, it kind of sinks down and then you go downstairs to get to your seat. But Rice is kind of different in that the separation between the actual field and the start of the stands is like really shallow. Like, you could jump onto the field with no problem and like not have to brace yourself. It's like maybe like a 3-foot drop or something crazy like that.
Jeez.
So whenever you're sitting in your seats, because I mean, Rice Stadium holds 65,000 people or whatever, and it's totally empty. I mean, there are maybe 20,000 at that game Saturday. So you're going to be sitting pretty close to the sideline. And the interesting thing is whenever you're sitting that close, it gives you a unique perspective, because most UTSA fans don't sit behind the home bench in the Alamo Dome, just because like the sideline is so much bigger at the Alamo Dome, you know. There's a big gap between, like, where the players stand on the sideline and then, like, the bench. And then there's all that space where the cheerleaders stand or whatever. And then there's the stands.
There's a buffer. So
the body language isn't as apparent as it would be from sitting in Rice's stadium. So it was pretty eye-opening for me and for a lot of fans that I talked to during and after the game, just how shitty the body language is on the sideline. You know, just the lack of leadership, the lack of like encouragement from teammates. People don't pay attention to the coaching staff on the sideline, which blew my mind. I don't want to write this because I don't like to name names that, you know, blow guys out or whatever. But Andre Brown missed a block on a punt return against Rice. And so, like, he comes back off the field, and Coach Iliano, the special teams coach, was, you know, trying to let him know, like, yeah, you missed your block, like, you need to look out or whatever. And Brown just, like, blew him off. You know, he kind of disregarded everything that he was saying, and he just sat on the bench and just turned away. And then Iliano just blew up on the guy. And that was one of two instances we saw any passion on that sideline for the whole game. For what should be a rivalry game, you know, you get beat twice in 2 years by a local rival. You think the team would be fired up to beat them. So Iliano showed a little fire there and chewing out Brown. And he made it pretty personal. And everyone that was sitting on the UTSA section could hear every word out of Iliano's mouth because we were that close, you know?
Yeah.
The other instance was Cole Hubbell was, I guess he was getting chewed out over the headset from an offensive coordinator or whatever. And he took the headset off and just slammed it on the ground. And then he just kind of paced up and down the sideline for a while, like pushing stuff and yelling and, you know, just kind of showing a little fire. Outside of that, the rest of the team was just standing around with their hands crossed. You know, they just had their helmets on the whole time. A lot of guys never left from the one spot they stood the whole game. Like, they left and went to the locker room at halftime, and they came back out and stood right there. You know, I saw Aaron Taylor walk around a little bit and kind of give guys high fives or whatever, just be a decent dude. For the rest of it, man, like, those guys didn't give a shit about playing football that day. They did not want to be there. And, you know, they made damn sure they got it back to San Antonio so they could go to New Braunfels for Worst Best and post pictures all over social media of them getting drunk that night. So, you know, it makes you question the focus and the leadership and the intensity of the team. I mean, it looks like those guys just melted in, especially on offense, you know. There's just no fire, no passion, and there's no one there that's telling these guys to knock it off and to take it seriously. In my article, I mentioned that there were a couple of players that were, like, laughing and joking, like, immediately after Rice scored their second touchdown to go up 17-0. And, you know, it's one thing if, like, some younger players are, like, joking around on the sideline and not taking it seriously, but you would expect one of the 35 seniors to be like, hey, knock that shit out. Like, we're losing. Like, take it seriously, you know? Yeah. And you even got to think about the message that you're sending. There's, you know, like 4,000 UTSA fans right behind you, and you're laughing that you're getting beat. Like, okay, if the game's not serious to you, that's fine, whatever. But for the people that woke up at 5 a.m. to travel to support you, it's pretty insulting to show how little you care by laughing at, you know, taking a loss.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's pretty ridiculous.
It's one thing, and I think you kind of often see, like, players getting caught out sometimes, like, you know, like a flash on the, like, on the, you know, the TV will point a camera to them and they're laughing about something completely ridiculous, or, like, you know, it looks like they're not caring, but that's not really the case. It was like an isolated moment. This is different because you were, like, there the whole time, so you got to put it all into context. Like you said, it's not just the one thing, it's not just one, you know, haha, that was funny, dude. It's all of it, right? It's not listening to the coaches. It is blowing off. It's the body language. And I guess the question that, you know, must needs answering is, why? What is the deal? How did the team with, you know, 1,000 billion seniors lose, like, all of their fire? The fire that made them show Conference USA that they weren't just, you know, a little upstart, that they weren't a pushover, that they were a team that could be, you know, team to be reckoned with, you know, et cetera, et cetera, down the line. They won them all the praise that they got the last 2 years, and rightfully so, all that praise.
Yeah, I think UTSA fans really discounted how important some of those seniors in that small class that graduated last year were. Obviously, everyone knows how huge Eric Swizza was, and, you know, we've come to realize that. But I think we're also realizing how much we're missing guys like Stephen Kerfish and Evans Okacha, because those were some of the most passionate players that UTSA had in the program. And, I mean, you can go look at Evans Okacha's Twitter to this day, and still every game he's tweeting, like, who's going to step up? Like, what are you guys doing? Where's the fire at? You know, he can't even recognize the team anymore because they've turned into just this passive, you know, like, it's not my problem. It's not my fault. I'm not messing up team, where blame just gets passed on to someone else rather than, you know, some leader stepping up and taking control of the situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about, like, leadership. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, presumably you kind of recruit for guys that have some leadership qualities. And coaches, I mean, if you've been in any locker room or listened to any coach, they all say the same thing. Like, we need people to step up, lead this program, you know. So presumably all that happened. But what's the gap here? You know what I mean? Like, what was it? Is it just they just got unlucky and lost everybody that could be a leader? Is it really nobody stepping up? Or is it like the leaders that were there kind of got knocked in the mouth because they got some losses and now they don't really want to say anything? Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm wrecking my brain.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, obviously guys like Nate Leonard and Cam Jones, they've been team captains. Scott Enske, like, those are guys who have leadership qualities. So, you know, I think that there's some credence to, you know, maybe they lost some games. Things started to go downhill. They noticed that their teammates weren't listening to them or taking them seriously. So they're kind of like, all right, fine. You know, if it's not me, then it's not me. And they're just going to pass that on.
You get a little example of downtown living here. You hear that, guys? You hear that? That's real San Antonio. That's San Antonio right there. Yeah.
Get on.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's the thing. Is it like, and I know you and I kind of talked about this on the Twitter machine before, when a UNT troll on a UNT message board had asked, like, man, so Rice kind of stumbled out the gate. They're expected to be number one in the conference, in the division. UTSA. Man, I need more beer. Hold on. UTSA stumbled out the gate as well. Which one of these two gets right first? Or, you know, which one stumbles? And I thought, wholeheartedly, I mean, obviously UTSA has, like, you know, the pedigree. They have the seniors. They have the veteran coach. They have everything that they need to, you know, stay the course to bounce back. And I've been, like, super surprised with this whole thing. And, I mean, I really don't know how to explain it other than than those things that you mentioned, that there's, like, something missing. And I don't know. It's like, what did the coaches do? You know, like you said, some of this is on the coaches. It's not just, like, you know, leadership. Like, you guys got to step up and wagging your finger. Some of it is play calling. Some of it is, you know, not giving up as coaches. And that's not, like, you know, showing up in practice and trying to coach them. But sometimes on game day, that has to be kind of demoralizing, because I know that's been demoralizing for the fan base. You see everybody saying, like, oh, same vanilla offense, you know?
You know, some of the body language issues that I was talking about with the players, you can apply that to the coaches as well. I mean, there are some coaches that just kind of pace up and down the sideline, and you never really see them get up and confront any players. I'm not saying I want the coaches to go out there and scream at these guys and call them names and belittle them or anything, but I feel like there's definitely some coaching moments that the coaches are missing out on, you know, and they seem to kind of sit on their hands a little bit.
Yeah,
some of that might be like, oh, well, we know these seniors have been here. We trust them to correct the mistakes. But at some point, you kind of need to get prodded along.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, like, right now, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, these things need to be happening. If it's not on the sideline, you know, like, if you don't want to be the coach that turns and grabs a guy by the face mask and yells in his face, that's all fine. You don't necessarily need to do that. There's more than one way to motivate a guy. And, you know, like, if you've taken any leadership class or any, like, you know, management class, you know that different people respond to different, you know, like, stimuli, basically. So, you know, it's not saying we need to see more fire from the coaches on the sideline on game day. But, I mean, whatever they do, if they're going to do it behind the scenes, it kind of needs to translate to Saturday, you know, passion. And that's not even to necessarily say that it needs to be wins. Or that it needs to be, you know, like, you know, a ridiculous turnaround, like, you know, like in Disney style, where they just all of a sudden score 40 points every game. But, yeah.
You know, we should be seeing constant improvement. Like, I think UNT fans have seen some improvement over the past couple of weeks. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like, I think UNT is in a little bit different boat. I mean, Derek Thompson, the similar outgoing quarterback, was kind of a leader, but he was not the leader. And there's some guys on the line that have turned around and said, I think this week they said, look, we got challenged by the running backs, and they said, hey, you guys got to be more physical out there. And so then they came out against FAU and they played physically. So I don't know. I mean, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, that happens in any organization, any team you've been around. Somebody says something. They're like, hey, look, we got to play better. I'm sure somebody's doing that, but the vast majority of people aren't listening. And I mean, I don't know how you correct this. It's an interesting like organizational problem. But it sucks. There's only what, like 2-3 games left. There's Southern Miss.
There's one Western game. Kentucky.
And then the UNT game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you like. It's kind of a cliche to say like, oh, there's always something to play for. You know, like you see coaches talking. You lose a game, like a big game that could get you to a bowl game. They're like, well, we got to get better. We got to get better every week. And it's kind of cliche to say that stuff. But where is that? Like, we don't even see that happening. You know, it doesn't even look like anybody's trying to get better and win the rest of the season. Do you think that more dudes need to be benched?
Yeah, I've been saying that all year long. I think UTSA has a ton of talent that is sitting on the bench. And I can't think of a better example right now than Kerry Thomas. I know he's a true freshman, but he's like 6'2", 215, 220 pounds. And I've seen him targeted 3 times this year, and he was open all 3 times. 2 of them were catches, and one of them was a poorly thrown ball. But they just don't play the kid, which is baffling because the wide receiver unit, it's one of the least productive on the team. You know, even Cam Jones hasn't done a whole lot this year. So why not give the kid a chance? Like, if he's getting open, then what do you have to lose by playing him?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, coaches have different criteria for that kind of thing, right? You know, it's like, well, you know, it's like you work in an office and they're like, well, you get a raise now, you know, by doing this consistently. Like, you give somebody a measurement and say you meet this, then, you know, good things will happen. I think maybe everybody's doing everything else right. But the one important thing is that on Saturdays that you produce, right? I mean, that's what this whole thing is about, is producing on Saturdays. I mean, yeah, everybody wants to be stand-up guys and, you know, great husbands and fathers and, you know, upstanding men in the community. But, you know, you can do all that stuff by not having a scholarship, you know. You get a scholarship for all that plus, you know, winning football games. So I don't know what it is keeping some of these dudes back, but I mean, it's maybe time to rearrange the measuring stick or something. I don't know. That was a fucked up analogy there. But, yeah, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I know what you for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, you get to the point where the ball eligibility is out the window. So it's kind of like the coaches are just not being prudent if they're not letting these younger kids get playing time, because we all want to see the seniors go out with a nice exit. Like, hopefully that'll be a win against UNT in the Dome on Senior Day.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in college football, if you make a bowl, then you also get an extra 15 days of practice.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So if you're not making a bowl, then your freshmen are not getting those 15 days of practice that your competition is getting.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that you get those freshman snaps on the field to kind of counteract the practice time the other teams are getting their freshmen.
I think all you got to do is look at Southern Miss. They kind of realized where they were going early in the season last year, and so they started, you know, playing young guys. They played the young quarterback, the Mullins kid,
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, and you know, they pretty much got beat up by everybody. I know, like UNT, like sacked them a whole ton of times, and UNT beat them over there in Hattiesburg, which has some good bars there. I've been there; it's pretty good. Anyway, so like. You know, now this year they're a little bit better. They made improvement. Mullins looks confident back there. I think UTEP kind of tried to do the same thing. They started a freshman guy. Middle Tennessee did the same thing last year. I think outside of the quarterback, which, you know, UTSA has tried to rotate and they've kind of had some awful luck there. Everywhere else in struggling positions along the line, like you're mentioning, the center position, that's been kind of awful. Yeah, it's time to rotate some dudes. It's time to say, all right, let's, you know, this has run its course. This obviously isn't going to end in a bowl victory, or, you know, doesn't look like it's going to, you know, end in a bowl victory. So maybe it's time to play some other dudes out there. You know, it's like the Spurs thing. We've all seen Spurs games. Popovich sometimes benches Tony, Tim, and Manu and, you know, rolls out Patty Mills or, you know, Corey Joseph. Yeah.
And then that pays off in the playoffs when those guys step into the rotation and hit the clutch three, and the fans of the other team is like, who the hell is Patty Mills?
You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, and, you know, so the football equivalent is getting those guys playing time at the end of the season where nobody is going to remember. And so they come, you know, they step out on the field next season, game one, and they're not overwhelmed. Not to say that they are, but, you know, you get the jitters out of your system already, you know? I don't know.
It's, and it's funny because if there's ever been a program that could you know, benefit from playing the younger athletes, it's got to be UTSA. Because these 35 seniors have done a lot of good things in their career, but they're all guys that had zero offers coming out of high school. You know, they're 5'9" receivers, they're 5'9" cornerbacks, cornerbacks that probably run a 4.7 40-yard dash, you know, so on and so forth. Whereas, like, these freshmen that are in the program, yeah, they might be young and inexperienced, but they've got a hell of a lot more size and a hell of a lot more speed. And they were recruited to play at this level.
Yeah.
So why are you going to hold them back, assuming that these guys can't produce? Because we can't see practice, because that's a whole other discussion. But, you know, practice is close, so we don't know if these guys are producing in practice or not. Assuming that they're holding their own in practice, why wouldn't you throw them on the field? You know, the upside is higher.
Yeah. I mean, you'd like to see Larry Coker come out and say, you know, give some reasons for this kind of thing. I know UNT kind of had a similar situation. Dan McCarney came out and was like, well, you know, it's real hard to recruit to North Texas. And that may be true. We all kind of know it's true in our hearts and souls.
Yeah.
But you don't want the leader of your program saying that. And that was kind of awful. Similarly, you want the leader in the face of the program, and that's Larry Coker. You know, like, as far as coaching staff is concerned, when people think of UTSA, they think of Coker, Larry Coker. That's kind of why we named Cooler Chronicles, Coker Chronicles. And it still is Coker Chronicles. You can go to CokerChronicles.com or just redirect. Same thing, man. It's, you know, like, he's the face of the program. You'd like to see a little bit more something out of him. You know, I think what was kind of disappointing out of him was when he said, oh, well, you know, maybe expectations were a little too high. It's like,
yeah. Oh, sickening.
Yeah, I mean, I like that you included that JFK quote in there, because I'd like, you know, I think one of the greatest things that, you know, that Dan McCarney did, and that one that, you know, had him win my heart and swept me off my feet, was him saying, you know, why not North Texas? Why not bowl games? Yeah. Why not championships? That kind of thing gets people excited. And
right,
so,
yeah, you even have that in the header for Mean Green Nation, right?
Yeah, I mean, because it's like a thing amongst, like, North Texas people. You look at it, you're like, hey, man, why not North Texas? People say that to each other. It's kind of stupid. But it's the kind of thing that gets programs excited, not, right. Well, you know, maybe it was a little too hard. You know, maybe expectations were a little too high. Nobody gets like, dude, maybe expectations were a little bit too high, right, bro? High five. Nobody does that, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine Coker about to take the field in the Alamo Dome, and he's like, now remember, guys, don't get your hopes too high. We're probably going to lose.
No, man, that doesn't get you excited. And so that was disappointing to me to hear him say that, especially having, you know, a team that was favored to win. I would say my motivation, you know, nobody's paying me any kind of millions or any kind of thousands of dollars to coach anybody in anything. So take that first, and then listen to me say this, that the way I'd motivate him would be to say, hey, look, we're favored to win this thing, you know? So let's go out there and win it. Let's show them what this is. We are a good team. We need to be playing like a good team. That's the tactic I take, not, well, you know, maybe it was kind of hard, you know, maybe it was a little too, bar was a little too high. Maybe we should play on varsity mode and not on Heisman, you know? I don't know, dude.
It's funny because this is the vision that the seniors were recruited to. You know, like, your last year, we're going to be bowl eligible. We're all going to be seniors. We're going to have a shot, you know, to come out here and make a bowl game. And they just kind of shied away from that ambition that they were recruited on. And that's why they came to UTSA. And now they want to back away from it and say it was too ambitious?
Yeah, exactly. That was the worst part about all of it. Right, somebody's tweeting at me. Oh, it's about a... it's a coding joke. Don't give me coding jokes when I'm podcasting, guy. All right. It's exactly that. That you kind of... It's like sweeping everything under the rug. It's a little bit like 1984-ish. Like, we were always at war with East Asia. I'm like, well, what about this other stuff, you know? Everybody and their mom knew that this was the big year, you know? Like, everybody talked about it in hushed whispers. It was implied in every write-up. It's like, this team, only 4 years, and they're all just juniors right now. What will they do, you know? And they've laid an egg. It's been an awful season. And I agree with you. I know you've said this, and you've battled some of the Sunshine Brigade on the Twitters. You know, I agree with you when you say that, you know, it's okay to call, you know, a spade and say this has been a disappointing season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
if you're okay with what you've gotten out of UTSA this year, then this program's never going to amount to anything. And, you know, it's going to move to some on stadium, small campus stadium in a couple of years and just kind of rot away in obscurity.
Yeah, it's going to be
if you're not going to ask for more than what we've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as an alum of a school that was mired and still is mired in like mediocrity for so long, it's not a place you want to be. It's hard to get unstuck from that kind of thing. And one of the exciting things about UTSA and the program is that it has momentum. Or, you know, even with this year, it still has momentum. It's still young. It doesn't have, you know, like, well, same old UTSA. That doesn't mean anything.
I mean, the recruiting class is still really solid. So there's still momentum there.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, this was a bad year, a disappointing year, failed to meet expectations after 3 years of exceeding them. I don't think that's a bad thing to say. And I think I'd like Larry Coker and everybody else to kind of own that. That'd be pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's one thing that's driven me nuts this year is that the coaches haven't owned up to anything. You know, after every loss, they're just like, oh, well, you know, the other team was good. They played a good game and, you know, we got to do better. But they never come out and say, like, yeah, we didn't practice hard enough. Our game plan was not prepared. You know, we didn't have a backup quarterback ready to go and so on and so forth. I mean, is anyone going to step up and take accountability for a 2-win season?
Yeah, really? Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. You win only 2 games. It's got to be somebody's fault, right? It's not just misfortune.
Two-win seasons, no matter who you are, even if you're Central Michigan, 2-win seasons don't just happen. Like, there's got to be an explanation for that.
Exactly. I think that's a great point. All right, so speaking of 2-win seasons and chances to improve, what do you make of the next one coming up? You know what freaks me out, by the way? I open up my CBS Sports app, and it says Jared on there. But it's like the Gallery of Jewelry. It
just kind
of
weird. That is creepy.
It shocks me. It's like, what the?
Skynet.
Yeah. All right, so UTSA is favored by 6? Is that right?
Oh, really? I haven't seen a line yet because I guess they haven't announced if Tucker is going to play or not. So I think some places probably took it off the books.
Yeah, favored by 6 according to this right now. I'm reading it. Live breaking news on the Gula Chronicles podcast. UTSA is favored by 6. Southern Miss, if you ain't know, what are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 3-7. So they're not really. There's a lot of three. Yeah. A lot of conference USA West is kind of in the same position.
They've only won one game on the road as well.
Yeah, and that was at North Texas. God, that was awful. Yeah, they beat Alcorn State, beat Appalachian State, and they beat North Texas. Wah, wah. What great company we're in, Dan McCarney. All right, so like, and then you know, like they lost to Louisiana Tech. I gotta say, if they, like any one of those the East Conference USA East teams were in the West, Louisiana Tech would not be top of this division. I mean, I think Middle Tennessee would probably own this division. I think
Middle Tennessee would give them a tough game. Past that, I think they would be able to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, it just, meh. So, yeah, and then they got beat up by Marshall. They, you know, they gave him a run, 14-point lead, and then they got shellacked.
Yeah, 60, I was getting kind of excited because I was like, I thought someone was going to pull the upset on Marshall this year. I guess the jury's still out on that. But if Southern Miss were to pull the upset against Marshall, then they would only have, like, 3 practice days and then travel to San Antonio. I'm like, hey, that's pretty advantageous for UTSA. You know, this team would get really big-headed and think they're hot shit. probably not be too focused on UTSA in practice.
Yeah, coming in on a short week. Yeah,
coming in on a short week, you know. But it did not play out that way.
No, they got
beat
down.
Marshall's pretty damn good at the old footballsing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think they were going to go undefeated. Just because everybody was predicting that they were. They're like, this is the easiest schedule in America. And apparently it has been. They've only had like 1 or 2 stumbles, and I think they've only scored less than 40 points once, and that was against UTEP when they only scored 35. Yeah. So there you go.
I think they've only beaten one team with a record above 500. Don't quote me on that. but yeah. I think so.
But, you know, it's not like they're squeaking them out. I mean, outside of, like right. I said, yeah. Yeah. Their close games are, like, super, you know, there's like, well, they only beat him by 21 points, you know? And he only Cato's only thrown for 4 touchdown passes. Hey, if you guys, I know some people are listening and we haven't given you guys a chance to speak. You got questions? If you got opinions, fire them out there at Cooler Chronicle or at CC underscore Jared or even at me.
Yeah.
At ZE underscore Martino.
I haven't got a single thought tweeted at me for this podcast.
Nary a one.
People are just too upset with my scorching hot takes. They can't handle
it. Well, I mean, it's not like, you know, as bold as it is to say, and I think it's mostly right, and I think it's kind of, like I said, elucidates everybody's opinion. Everybody's been saying that, thinking that themselves. So, I guess it wasn't so hot controversial. You gotta say something like, fire Larry Coker! You say that, then you
yeah.
get it,
yeah. yeah.
By the way, I don't think we should fire Larry Coker.
No.
Alright, so, how you feeling about this game? What's your gut feeling? I mean, you know, forget your mind, the stats. What does your gut tell you? When you think about the game, you know, in your quiet moments,
yeah,
what happens?
You know, my gut feeling right now is pretty neutral, honestly. I think it's a very winnable game because Southern Miss runs the ball a lot. So that really plays into UTSA's defense's favor. But, I mean, honestly, UTSA could hold Southern Miss to 10 points and still lose. So, yeah, it's just hard for me to kind of make the dive and call for a UTSA win, finally. You know, maybe they're going to play some of those younger kids that will catch Southern Miss by surprise. You know, there's definitely a lot of speed on the bench that hasn't played. A lot of guys like Stanley Dye, Nikhil Bailey, Kerry Thomas, Aaron Taylor, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know. Maybe those guys step in and, you know, cause some mismatches. I don't like that Nick Mullins is coming back. Like, he's not a fantastic quarterback, but he's solid, and he's definitely better than the guy that was playing in his stead. Yeah, as he was injured. But both quarterbacks are pretty turnover prone. I think they've combined for like 18 interceptions this year. So, and you know, anytime there's going to be turnovers in the game, you got to like the home team
yeah,
a chance.
The other guy is Cole Weeks, and he's thrown 112 times, completed 59 for 761 yards, 2 touchdowns against 5 interceptions. Nick Mullins has thrown 10 plus to 8 negative. So there you go.
Yeah, so 13 interceptions?
Yeah. So I mean, a lot of interceptions. It hasn't been great. Their leading rusher is Ito Smith at 454 yards, averaging 4.1 yards carry, has a couple scores. George Payne, 268 yards, but he's at 3.3 yards carry. Really, this was frustrating when Southern Miss came over and went over to Apogee and then beat up UNT, is that UNT gave up something like 500 and something yards to them, and they were averaging somewhere around 300 or like 295, and then they went right back to averaging that terrible amount. Outside of like a random explosion in points, I don't really see Southern Miss scoring a lot of points in this one, and I think that's probably why UTSA is favored. Not only are they at home, but UTSA's strength this year has been their defense, outside of their secondary, where you can just toss up you know, any kind of floater, and you probably have a decent chance of catching it. But you can't run up the middle against UTSA. And, I mean, I think an example of a team that couldn't really do anything was, like, FIU. And, you know, there's UTSA not able to do anything on offense, and that was the most awful game that I've ever seen in my life. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
There was a lot of turnovers back to back to back to back. And yeah, we had talked about this on the erstwhile Underdog Dynasty Midnight podcast, but yeah, I don't know. So I feel like, unfortunately, I'm not gonna be able to go to the game. I'm gonna have class, and my teacher's not a football fan, so that's fun. She goes, football. She does that. So that was pretty sad.
Gross.
Yeah, she's like, ugh. I was like, great. Thursday, there's like two home games on Thursday. That sucks. I don't know. I mean, do you want? You got a prediction in you? UTSA is favored by 6. Over and under is 45. What do you think?
I'm gonna take the under. And
I think that's safe.
Yeah, I think so. I was telling someone at the tailgate last week. I'm like, even if the over under is 10, you should take the under.
You take the under.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take the under, and I'll take UTSA to win but not cover, so them to like win by three.
I think that's a pretty solid prediction. I think this one, I think UTSA comes out with a little bit more fire. Maybe they listen to the podcast and like, you know what, bro? That dude Jared had some, he had some good points there. Maybe we should be doing XYZ. Maybe I shouldn't laugh on the sideline. So I think they come out and I think they get like, you know, 21 points. I'm going to say it. Ooh. 21 points.
Are any of those points special teams or defense?
Yes.
Are they all offensive?
I think they're going to get some defensive scores there. Okay. I think they're due.
I don't think you guys has had a pick six this year.
Yeah.
Can you recall one?
No. No.
I don't think so.
No, but I think they get like a little sack fumble or something, you know, a little fumble, scoop and score.
Yeah.
They were close to a couple of those things there. And
I would love to see an Ashaud Mabry fumble return touchdown before he graduates from UTSA. Yeah, wouldn't that be majestic?
Yeah, I mean, now's the time to do it, because I don't want to see that against UNT. So, like, you know, it's going to be like a completely
flip. Get it out of the way. Poor Adam has to suffer through that.
Yeah, it's going to be funny. I was telling a couple of the people, I've been to a few of the games, and we're there, and they're like, you know, we're talking, whatever. They're like, you went to UNT, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, wait, we play UNT. These are people that bring that are not really into the UTSAs. I'm trying to bring them into the fold. And they're like, so, they ask me the same old question. Like, so who are you going to root for, man? I'm like, dude, I'm going to be in all green. And you're going to hate me, and you're going to try to punch me in the face. So, right now, you need to drink up with me, and then because then I become your enemy again. I couldn't, I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to a classmate of mine who was affiliated with the cheerleading program. We'll say that. And, she was like, oh, man, I can't wait to beat you, UNT. And she just kind of went on and on the whole thing. And then I showed her my class ring, and she was like, you're one of them. Anyway, so it's funny. I like it's kind of a rival. Like, nobody, you understand that nobody really gets up for that. You know, we talked about this last year, like before the game. Nobody really gets up for like UNT. Like, you know, how many Arkansas State people do you run into? You know, how many Florida Atlantic people, Florida International? Nobody even knows those are schools. You know, so it's kind of cool to have the team nearby. And they're like, oh, UNT. Oh, yeah, you guys like talk a lot of shit. That's the way you always hear. So we'll see. That's the start of a rivalry. I'm excited about that. I think for both of these schools, UNT and then UTSA, I think that's like the light at the end of the tunnel. It's a chance to kind of wash away all your sins, you know, a little bit. And that to me is like a true rivalry game. Some of the old school UNT people were excited about beating SMU, but I mean, I don't get excited by SMU. They're SMU.
I've never met an SMU grad that I liked.
I mean, they're all douches, but I mean, you know, like kind of the problem with douches is that you can't really argue with them because they're douches and they go off into their douchery and they leave you, right? So you kind of need somebody that's you know, that you kind of like to kind of hate also. You know what I mean? Somebody you're like, ah, they're there and I like you, but I hate you. You're kind of like me and that's why I hate you. It's like those opposite people. Anyway, that's that. But yeah, I don't like any SMU people either. They all drive Beamers and they hate you. I'm kidding. So I don't know. I think they bounce back against Southern Miss. One thing we stopped doing just because I've been super busy. I want to like apologize for not posting on Cooler Chronicles all the time. But you know, I am in grad school and that shit is kicking my ass. I decided to my schooling level, so that's I'm taking more classes, and that was kind of a mistake because I had like zero time.
How dare you? How dare you try to better yourself in the sake of harming this site?
I'm telling you, man, it's kind of a bad decision. But yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. So like, I feel like I don't get a chance to spot some HSOs and keep it up there. One thing we were doing is like the UTSA predictions, you know, the score predictions. I think right now, you were like the leading guy. Is that it? Last we left off, I forget what it was.
Not sure.
But yeah,
I know I had a couple that were pretty close.
Yeah, I think we were all kind of being shocked at the beginning. I think people were predicting. They're like, "Oh, I think we can handle Houston." And then UTSA jumps out and they beat Houston. And everybody gets excited. And then after the moral victory or the loss against Arizona, however you want to look at that, I think that's when things kind of fell apart. It was that FAU game, pretty much.
Yep.
Quez Johnson. That was kind of exciting, that game.
Oh, man, I miss that game because of a wedding, and it's just, ugh, so bad.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, I mean, if it were not a team that you had any vested interest in, it would be really exciting. Like, dude, they could drive all the way down and score, and then, you know, UTSA gets the ball, and they almost run it all the way back. You're like, dude, this is what college football is all about. But if you're rooting for either of those teams, then you're like, oh, this is awful. This is the worst thing about college football. Yeah, because what was it like? FAU scored, then UTSA got the ball. Cam Jones almost returned it all the way to win the game. And then immediately after that, Tucker Card almost throws a game-winning touchdown. And the guy had it in his hands, and it was kind of batted away by some, I don't know, some safety dude for FAU.
Yeah.
Some guy lost to history. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, so how many games do you think UTSA is going to win out of the next three? Southern Miss, Western Kentucky on the road, and then UNT at home?
Put me on a spot here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I said, I think they beat Southern Miss. Western Kentucky's good. They can score. I never liked playing Western Kentucky. You know, once they completely leveled up from FCS, they had the transition years where they were like UNT's only wins there. Then they started getting good, and now they're pretty scary. They can score a lot of points. And if you don't have the defense to compete with them, then, you know, if you don't have the offense to compete with them, that's scary. That's why I think that maybe they lose. I mean, think about this. UTEP shut out UTSA 34-0. Western Kentucky beat UTEP 35-27. And I don't like...
I never do this, but I give UTSA zero chance to beat Western Kentucky on the road. Zero chance.
Zero, huh? There's
zero.
Always, yeah, there's always a something. I think they beat SMU. USM. I think it's like very small chance. I'd say like 15% chance to beat Western Kentucky. You never know. Maybe they get a couple turnovers here and there. UTSA hasn't looked terrible on offense all the time, just most of the time.
Just most of the time. Well, yeah. You know what? Maybe Bogenschutz might be back for that game. If Bogenschutz is back, I will give UTSA a 20% chance to win.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
See, I mean, all right, you know, everybody's complaining about the offense, but they scored 37 against Florida Atlantic. And Florida Atlantic has a pretty solid defense. Wait, what am I saying? Yeah. I'm all right. I'm just like, I was like lying to myself. The New Mexico game was a surprise, and I think that's what sticks out in everybody's head. FIU was a weird game, but then, you know, they were breaking in quarterbacks. Louisiana Tech, they scored 20 points. You can win on 20 points. It's not the greatest, but you can win. UTEP, that was a shock. And then Rice, that was kind of a weird thing. But they can score, and then, you know, even against Rice, they had a couple drives there where they nearly scored. It was like right before the half, and then it got into... A Twitter argument with the old inside UTSA there about like playing what if. But anyway, you know, like it's not like they can't move the ball. It's just that they don't sometimes. That's the problem. I think they beat Southern Miss. I think they lose to Western Kentucky, and I think North Texas wins.
Okay, so one. Yeah. I'm going to go with one win as well, because I'm not sure if they'll beat UNT or Southern Miss, but I think they'll get one out of two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Western Kentucky, I'm not putting any hope into that bucket.
Yeah, here's the thing. UNT's been pretty terrible. I think everybody that's kind of followed Conference USA kind of knows this. Here's how UTSA beat. I know we're going to do this eventually, but here's, like, the hope against UNT is that, like, you look at the way Mean Green played against FAU, which is not very good. They tried to run the ball forever, and they had their best rushing day, but they were trying to run the ball up the middle. I don't think you can run the ball up the middle against UTSA's defense. No matter how bad their offense played, you can't run the ball up the middle. And North Texas has, like, no quarterback. So you put that together, and, you know, that means that the game's close, and that means you can win. The game's at home. I think you can win that one. So that one's not, like, a zero percenter. That's about... 45% chance to win, I think. There you go.
Yep. I agree.
There you go. That's pretty much it, I think.
Yep.
So What else is going on in Austin? You can do some fun stuff tonight. What goes on in a Monday night in Austin?
Probably not tonight, but tomorrow night I'm going to see Justin Town Earl play at Emo's. That should be pretty good. Yeah, the new Emo's East on Riverside was super disappointing to me because, like, it's a great music venue for sure. And yeah. If it was called something besides Emo's, I would probably love it. But the fact that they're, like, piggybacking off of the Emo's name, like, which used to be, like, this grimy, just, like, miners come to drink at and listen to punk rock, just shithole venue. And the new Emo's is, like, super swanky and, like, has amazing acoustics, and you can, like, pay your own tab at the bar. It's quite the shift, you know?
Yeah, is that not, like, the entire thing about Austin? Like, it used to be...
Yeah, it totally is, man. You know, and like people a real don't see place. That.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Now it's like people think, you know, it's that place that everybody goes to now because they know it's cool, but it hasn't even really been cool in some time, I think.
Right, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. There you go. I think that you solved Austin. You brought it up in a nice, you know, Austin... is like Emo's.
And you gotta wait in 2 hours of traffic to get to that not cool place.
That's the worst, dude. I mean, I think that's the greatest thing about San Antonio is that having lived in Dallas where it takes 45 minutes to get anywhere, it takes 20 minutes to get anywhere here in San Antonio. And probably, I can probably get there faster if I'm speeding. Which is nothing, but some people here, they're like, oh God, it takes so long. It's not. You don't know what you're
talking. Nah. No one has no idea.
Yeah, so somebody give Jared a job down here in San Antonio, and he'll move back.
I have gotten some prospects for jobs there, but I can't leave my job just yet, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you just started there, you know?
Yeah, I've only been there a few months.
Yeah, you don't want
to
be
My time to return to the glory will come.
Yeah. You don't want to be Bobby Petrino out here, you know? Yeah. Taking jobs.
Although, you know, I got to say, though, that the new Rowdy Zone camera makes it a hell of a lot easier to be a long distance fan because that thing is gorgeous and I've enjoyed watching volleyball and basketball games on it. And I'm going to pitch it to our listeners that they should subscribe.
Yeah, that was the thing. For the longest time, I think it was like Rowdy Zone and all that stuff was done by New Lion, which is pretty terrible.
Right.
And yeah. I think now it's all but done by CBS Sports, or at least, you know, I think they all got the Conference USA money. Everybody that's new to it. And it has shown. It is good.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that it? Like, you got any hot sports opinions on basketball before we get out of here? You got like
5 No, minutes. I mean, I guess I could just give a quick, you know, couple minute rundown of
you went to the exhibition game, yeah.
No, I watched it online.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, but it was like you're there because the camera.
Yeah.
It was like you were there.
Yeah. So I think the big story for me personally was Ryan Bowie. UTSA is going with a 3-guard lineup this year, so he was kind of like that 3-guard, and he played extremely well. He's pretty impressive. I can't remember. I think he had like 15 points and like 7 rebounds, but he was just really efficient, and he knocked down I think all 3 threes that he took. Played great defense, had super quick hips and feet, and he's only listed at 6'1", but I guess he has long arms, so he looked really big on defense and took up a lot of space. Jeremy Hill came back finally. I think he'd missed like a year and a half with injury, and he was lights out. He was pretty rusty in the first half, then just lit a blaze in the second and knocked down like, I can't even remember how many threes, but it would have been his highest scoring game ever, but like the stats from that game don't count because it's an exhibition. But yeah, just in general, the team looked pretty well improved, I would say. James Ringholt played a lot more minutes than I expected. He's a 6'10" freshman forward from Australia, so maybe the next Jeremy Hill. I don't know if he'll be that good, but yeah, so he did okay. Larry Lewis, who is the JUCO transfer that originally signed with USC, he kind of struggled to get his offense going, but you could tell that he looked the part. You know, he seemed to have a good grasp on the team and the offense, so I think things are going to click for him at some point. Freshman named Austin Carr played, I think, like 22 minutes. And he didn't light up the box score by any means, but he just played good fundamental basketball. Kind of did the right things. So, you know, the game's going to come to him at some point. I think he'll be like a good 4-year contributor. And then Kai Sherman was the starter at center. And he looked a little bit better than last year, I guess, because his back is probably healed a little bit. So, I mean, we're just kind of, I think we'll see the same production out of Kai that we saw last year, which is fine. You know, we got to have the 7-footer down there in a 3-guard lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the next game is on Friday, I believe, at 7 o'clock. Don't quote me on that. You should look it up. Yeah, so y'all should go and check out the new squad because it's a pretty different look from last year. And their first game with this new team, they score over 100 points. Hasn't happened in 2 years.
Yeah, I always say, like I said this about UTSA, and the kind of the problem with the offense has been that they're not, I mean, the problem with the whole thing is that they're not scoring. Yeah, sure. But, you know, that kind of means that they're boring, you know, because people tune in for offense, especially in this offensive era where everybody's scoring. Nobody's really excited about defense, and maybe that's not fair, but, you know, it's kind of the truth. So that's really been terrible. And now UTSA men's basketball is not really predicted to do a whole lot of great things. I think what Louisiana Tech has picked to win the conference or something.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech and UTEP's looking pretty good as well.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you know, college basketball is all about winning the tournaments. You win a conference tournament, you win the NCAA tournament, right? What you do in the regular season can help you in that regard. It kind of give you a backup, you know, like say you falter in the tournaments, but it really is all about building towards the tournament.
Yeah, it'll be tough for Conference USA to be a two-bid league this year. I think Louisiana Tech and UTEP are the only two teams preseason that are worthy of getting a bid, but, you know, both of them have to actually accomplish what they're capable of to get there.
Yeah.
And then you still have to deal with the perception of the league as a whole. So,
You
know, teams like our teams, UNT and UTSA, if they stink it up all season and have embarrassing losses out of conference, it's going to make the rest of the teams that are actually good look bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like, and then, you know, obviously UTSA is, you know, battling uphill, like, with recruiting and things, with the facilities and a lot of this stuff. So what you kind of hope is that they can score points. That's my big point there. Like, you know, if they're going to go down, might as well go down a blaze of glory.
Right.
Or maybe a gory glory. Yeah.
My prediction for UTSA basketball is they'll probably end up around 500 this year, and a lot of that's because they have a pretty easy out-of-conference schedule with some D2 teams on there.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be around 500, like, you know, 14, 15 wins, but I think they'll just be fun to watch. You know, they're going to be a fast-paced team that shoots a lot of threes and, you know, cause some turnovers, and, you know.
Dude, that is all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean that's enough, you know, for UTSA that's spend zero money on basketball.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, it used to be that basketball had to carry the entire athletic department, and now it doesn't. Now it can kind of, you know, be weird, you know, and do it, you know, score points. That's pretty much all that you need to do. Yeah. It doesn't need to carry it. It doesn't need to have the weight. But, yeah, it's always a good time. I always want to tell people that. They're like, you know, everybody has a – there's a lot of people, and I might be preaching to the choir here, but you tell other people. Say, dude, go out to the games. You know, it's like $10. You get a good game. You get, you know, great athletes flying up and down the court. Some entertainment right in front of you. I think for like a shitty NBA team, you pay something like $500 to get as close as you do for $10. And you get a good game, and you support your local teams. I'm a big fan of doing that, and I went and watched all this local soccer here. And it's been fun, and not only that, I get to go to a championship game for $30. Can you beat that? No, you can't.
No, you can't. For a future MLS team, hopefully.
Yeah, there you go.
I was telling Javi at the Rice Tailgate, we were talking about the championship game, and I'm like, I want these mysterious Japanese investors to come out on the stage after the Scorpions win the championship and just show some blueprints or something and say that they're going to bring the MLS team to San Antonio and just bedlam breaks out.
Here's the thing. I watched a lot of MLS, but I wouldn't hate it if they just reinvested all that money into building a really great NASL squad. And here's why. There's no cap in NASL. There are none of the restrictions that you get in MLS. And in theory, you could surpass the MLS. An NASL team could. The Cosmos got Raul. You know, you can get good players. You can do the same thing that people are doing in MLS. The only thing you're missing is a lot of the TV money. But here's the dirty secret is that the TV money isn't even a whole lot. It's not even that much. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, I don't know. That's me and my pipe dream. I bet probably been Twitter friends with a lot of MLS truthers out there, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't hate in the San Antonio MLS team, but it's not the worst thing in the world if you just have a solid winning NASL squad.
You know, the city supported them, so
yeah. I mean, you gotta think this is gonna just only increase. So, yeah. I might TIFO it up. I don't know what to put on it. It's me and a bunch of other soccer friends. TIFOs those big banners they do, and then what you call it? I might do that.
Okay, the ones that like roll down like the whole section.
Yeah, there's only like five of us, so we're not gonna roll down. I don't want to cover some grandma and then she sues me, you know, or something. I don't need that in my life. It's gonna be just like us. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Cool. All right. CoolerChronicles.com. Cooler Chronicle on Twitter. Jared is CC_Jared. He's also an Underdog Dynasty, way more than I am. What else? You got
I've got a news story that I want to leave the listeners with before we check out here.
Oh man! All right, what's up?
So a man that works for a gaming company in China. There's this holiday, November 11th in China called Singles Day, which I guess is like their Valentine's Day. And so the guy saved up all of his money for 2 years, and he used all that won. 500,000 wands to buy 99 iPhone 6s, and then he brought his coworker out on a break and had her step into this heart-shaped ring of 99 iPhone 6s and proposed his love to her.
Wow.
There's no word on whether or not the stunt won the young lady's love or not.
Okay.
That's $81,000 for reference.
All right. Top that, future, or what do you got?
If you're feeling lonely this winter season, just know that you can always buy 99 iPhone 6s to give to your future lover.
It's a 6 Plus, right?
6 Plus, okay.
Yeah, 6s, I was like, well, yeah. 6s, well, they're not even out yet. There you go.
That's how the news story had it, but it's from a Chinese website.
Yeah, you can't trust that stuff.
Yeah, sure.
So there you go. Now, top that, next time you got to, you know, ask your girlfriend to marry you, you know?
You know, maybe we should make that a thing and like have the listeners send in crazy news stories and the best one gets read on the air to end the show.
Yeah, do it. I think I'll be totally for it. That's a fun thing. You know what? Let me advertise this other one. So Deranged Penguin, we're doing that later. And I swear, people will actually listen to that, which is always funny to me. People are like, yeah, when are you doing another, what is it, the penguin, crazy penguin, crazy weird penguin? Deranged Penguin.
Weird penguin.
Last week we talked about pervy Lena Dunham. Do you think she's a child molester? Yes or no? Ready, go.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I can't believe people are making excuses for her. That's so weird. And it's just white privilege at its core, I think. Man, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I guess that at the very least, it's just really creepy. And somebody's saying, hey,
for sure.
we don't look in our sister's vagina. You know, that's what you say.
Yeah.
So then I think tonight we're going to talk about whether or not you should protect a 7-year-old girl from getting hit in the face with a soccer ball in the stands. Do you have an opinion on that?
Wait, so a 7-year-old or 70?
Seven years old. At what age, are you responsible for your own protection in the stands? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Man, that's a tough one.
All right, so here's some context.
I would say like 13, 12.
Okay, see, I say 7 years old is enough to kind of dodge out of the way. You don't got to block it.
Yeah,
here's the thing. Yeah. So Yaya Toure fired a shot in this week's EPL match, and it flew, and it kind of curved around the goal, and it hit an unsuspecting little girl in the face. And her head threw back, and it was kind of crazy. And it kind of made me laugh a little bit, I got to admit. But Gina's, you know, my wife, she says, that's everybody else's fault. They got to protect the little girl there. And I say, what are you doing if your seat is behind the goal? What are you doing? Put your head down. She had her head down. She was like looking at her phone or something. Keep your heads up. Keep your eyes up. Watch the match. Especially if the ball's on your side of the field. Now, that's kind of me. If it was my kid, I'd be like, well, you probably should have had your head up. But it's not completely your fault.
Right.
But,
well, it's not like a hockey, you know, like it happens a lot in hockey, but that puck moves so fast.
Yeah, that's different.
It would be hard to dodge it, but with a soccer ball, you should be able to react to it and see it coming.
That's what I say. I mean, it's not baseball, it's not hockey, it's not even like football, I think. Anyway, there you go. That's what I'm going to argue later on tonight, and we'll see what everybody else says. They're going to call me an asshole probably. So that's it. That's Cooler Chronicles podcast. Thanks for listening. We had some listeners. Thanks for listening, guys. Probably had to go and make dinner or maybe go listen to the AHL podcast. We kind of hit our peak listeners like right around the middle of it and everybody dropped off. I get it. You got to go home. We're Drive Time Radio now. I got it. So we're trying to do this again at least more regularly as the season winds down, as basketball picks up, and as I get more time, definitely. And yeah, of course,
I'm gonna try to set up some more Google Hangouts as well, because we had a really good time when we did that. So be on the lookout for that. If you want to participate in one, just holler at me. You know where to find me.
Yeah, I think you did that on a Thursday, right? Another night I could do it. Way to go. Teacher's not gonna let me Google Hangout during that stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, so that's it. Subscribe. You can go to CoolChronicles.com, subscribe. You can go to Josephine Street Podcast. That's where all the podcasts are. You're probably not going to want to listen to the MeanGreenNation.com one, and I totally understand. But there's a soccer one on there that I'm going to try to get back up going, especially for this game. Listen to that one. We're done.